to see you all. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. If you have a bulletin, hopefully you got one on the way in, I'd like you to pull that out and just have a few things I want to share with you, some of the happenings that are going on here at the church. I actually had a chance to speak to Suzelle this morning. Please keep Suzelle and Lakai Timon and Haiti in your prayers. There's a lot of demonstrations going on. It's very difficult for them to get food. Now from kind of the mid-country north, there's a lot of demonstrations going on, a lot of roadblocks. There's been some killings. The locals are just, believe it or not, Suzelle said the locals are being equipped with weapons from the government so that the attention will be more on the demonstrations than on the corruptness of the government. So it's really messed up there. And really just pray because eventually they're going to run out of food. And it's even hard for the supplies to get from Port-au-Prince to San Michele, which is a four-hour ride. So please pray that everything settled down and any food that does travel to San Michele and get to Suzelle will actually get to Suzelle. So just we'll be praying for that as well before we start our service. And then just three things I want to draw to your attention that are on the bulletin here. Things that you need to sign up for if you want to participate in. So I encourage you guys, if you go to our website, you can sign up online if you want. Or you can use these bottom cards if you want to sign up for a fellowship lunch. If you want to sign up for the sounds game or a golf scramble, you can write it right on that card and drop it in the box. Next Sunday is going to be our fellowship lunch. And if you want to participate, we ask everybody to bring a dish to pass so that it's kind of a potluck thing. So if you are going to sign up for that, kind of let us know how many people are coming and what you want to bring and just drop that in the tithe box so we know. That would be great. We've done this in the past where we just get together after church and have a lunch, but this one's a little bit different. We want to, as the staff, kind of share some things that are going on in the church, give you an opportunity maybe to ask questions and just give you an idea of some of the things that we're looking at as the future of the church continues to move forward. So it's more of an informational meaning as well as a fellowship lunch. So great opportunity to meet some other people in the church maybe you haven't met. Again, that's next Sunday after service. A sounds game, we've done this in the past. We go out after church on Sunday, June 30th at 6 p.m. to watch a sounds game. Great opportunity of fellowship. Usually hot dogs, and I think they actually have fireworks there the night of that event. So if you want to participate in that, again, fill out the card or see our website. And then lastly, we do this every year. It's our golf scramble. It's the 12th year we've done this in a row. It's where we raise funds for our missions ministry. And it always does, it's a great opportunity for us to raise a lot of funds either for Suzelle or other missions that God puts upon our hearts to serve in. So if you want to participate, sign up there. If you want to be a golfer, if you just want to make a donation, you can sponsor a hole if you know either your company or a company that you maybe are familiar with that would want to sponsor a hole. That's where we get most of the funds raised is in those hole sponsorships. So we're asking for your help. And then if you want to donate either, you know, gift cards or some type of trinket, we give out gift bags and stuff, and all the things that get donated are monies that we save and actually can get onto the mission field. So opportunities to serve there. So I do encourage you to take a look at the bulletins later today or this week and just be reminded of things that are happening here at church. That's it in the way of announcements. If you want to open your Bibles, we are in the book of Acts. We are in chapter 3. We are picking up in verse 11 from where we left off last week. If you have need of a Bible, as we always do, just raise your hand good and high so you can follow along with us. Again, we're in Acts chapter 3. As I've said in the past, you know, here at Calvary Chapel, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So if you want to read ahead, it's always a good thing. If you know where we left off the previous week, you can always read ahead and kind of get the verses in your heart, and kind of prepare your heart, because the Holy Spirit will use that to minister to you. So again, always encourage everybody to participate actively in studying the Word. Acts chapter 3, again, verse 11. Let us pray. Father, what a privilege it is to come to a place where we can worship you, where we can hear a song, where we can sing lyrics to those songs, Lord, and they just convey our heart to you. Lord, that song we just sang, we want to know you a little bit deeper. God, I pray that that is all of our hearts, that we want to know you more, that we want to know you intimately and personally. A relationship, God, not a religion, not something, not routine that we just do and just go through the motions, Lord, that we truly want to have an intimate and personal relationship with the creator of this world, with your son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for our sins. God, what a privilege it is to hold our Bibles in our hands, to read the very words of God, and how encouraging your word always is. And so we pray that as we read today that we would glean from these truths. Lord, these things happened thousands of years ago. But Lord, they are so vibrant and so active in our lives right today. We pray that we would learn from the things that we're going to read, not just head knowledge, but life knowledge, that we would apply these truths, that we would be encouraged in the days that we live with so many things around us that are discouraging and heartbreaking. God, it's good to know that we can always be encouraged when we come to your word. So whether it's encouragement we need this morning, whether it's correction we need this morning, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in this place, that everyone would be blessed. To you be the glory, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. Since you gave your life to Jesus Christ, since that day you surrendered your will for his will, has your life changed? Is there a difference? I mean, it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, or you've been a Christian for 1 year. That change that Christ makes in our lives is immediate. It may not always be outward, though, right? It may not be something that people generally see all the time. But there's an inward change that happens. There's an inward change that takes place. And guys, I want to be a reminder to you this morning that God doesn't stop changing you. He doesn't stop just saving you and then doing a few things and that's it. No, for our entire lives, we're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. The hope is that we would be more what? Christ-like, more like Jesus. Anybody in here need to be more like Jesus? Everybody in here needs to be more like Jesus, right? And so there is this change that takes place when we give our lives to Christ, but that change continues on and on and on. Perhaps you think I haven't changed that much. On the surface, I'm pretty much the same. When people see me, it's just me. And that'd be true. But there is a change that happens deep down. There is a change that happens in our hearts because in reality, your life has changed dramatically. I want to remind you, the first thing that changed when you gave your life to Christ is your destiny, your final destination. See, before Christ, you were headed to hell, separated from God for all eternity. But when you gave your life to Christ, immediately your destiny changes, and now you're going to be living in heaven with Jesus, being with God. Being in the presence of the Lord, being in heaven. So our destiny has changed. See, it doesn't matter how good of a person you are. And I will say this, when I first gave my life to Christ, one of my friends who invited us to church actually said to me, Rob, I almost said Pastor Rob, I wasn't Pastor Rob back then. He said, Rob, you were more like a Christian before you were a Christian than most Christians. I was a good person. I've shared with you before, when I was a kid, if my dad or my mom and dad said don't, I didn't. If they said do it, I did it. My brother, the exact opposite. They said don't, and he did it. They said do this, and he wouldn't. I was just a good kid. But good people don't necessarily get to go to heaven apart from Christ. Good people with Jesus go to heaven. Bad people with Jesus go to heaven. And so our goodness doesn't get in there. No matter how good you are, you'll never get there on your own. Because God's standard, listen to this. I don't mean to discourage you. But God's standard is absolute perfection. Anybody in here perfect? No. But your life is where? It's in Christ, the perfect one. So in Christ, we're perfect. In Christ, who Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. When he died, he took them all upon himself. Therefore, meeting the standard for God of that sacrifice, that once and for all sacrifice, that when we put our faith and trust in him, that we become perfect. Anybody in here know we're still working out our salvation? We're still being perfected? But listen, from the heavenly perspective, from our heavenly fathers looking down upon your life, you're perfect in Christ. Sure, there's rough edges. Sure, there's things that need to be done. Because you are putting your faith and trust in Jesus, you are perfect. And guys, that is good news. That is good news to be reminded of this morning when everything in this world is so bad and so hard and so awful that we can go, I'm a saved person. I think it was last week. Gosh, the weeks go by so quickly, but Suzelle lost her brother. And I got, again, talked to her this morning and seeing how she's doing. And it's hard. She feels like she's out there alone. And because of all the demonstrations, not many of the family could get to the funerals. So it wasn't a whole lot of family there. But the thing that they were encouraged by during the funeral was that her brother said, I can see the gates opening before me. That's encouraging, isn't it? That's encouraging that the difficulties in this life don't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed when we get to see Christ, when we get to enter those gates ourselves, when we get to be reunited with our loved ones. Every single one of us in this room has lost a loved one that we're going to see again. Guys, that's an amazing change, isn't it? Our attitude of death has changed. Our emotions for life have changed because we have hope, and that hope is in heaven, and that hope is in Christ. See, but when Jesus came, God freely and fully forgave us, fully, of all of our sins. Do you know it's a sin to remember your sin that God doesn't remember? Think about that. We do. We remember our sin. If you've ever sinned the same sin twice, you've gone to God and said, God, I'm sorry I did it again. And God goes, did what again? That's the mentality of God because he chooses to forget your sin that's been forgiven through Christ. So we remember, but God chooses to forget. I think we would do ourselves all a good service if we would choose to forget our sin and focus on God. It's true. So because of Jesus, the Bible says this in Hebrews. Listen to this. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Our hope is in Christ, the sacrifice that Jesus made. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. The sacrifice that was made once and for all has given us a hope that is literally our anchor. You know what an anchor does? You know what an anchor does. It keeps you in the space that you're supposed to be. If you've ever been on a boat and thrown over anchor, you're supposed to stay there. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is that anchor for our souls, that place that we can come to, that when even if everything is going wrong around us, we still have an amazing amount of hope in Christ. Sure and steadfast. How good that is to be reminded this morning. How good that is to be reminded. You change in other ways, not only our destiny, but we change by the fact that we begin to love others, that we desire to want to help others, right? The Christian should want to do good things for other people. That should be a general outpouring of our hearts. We should want to share Christ with other people. Jesus will deepen the good things in your life, and he will help prune away the bad things in your life. I stand before you a pruned man. There were things in my life before Christ that are no longer there because Jesus took them out. He's still pruning, don't get me wrong. It's still a work in progress. But isn't it good to know that he deepens those things in our lives that are good and he moves those things that are bad in our lives and removes them from us? Things that we struggled with maybe years ago, no longer. By faith, you must consistently turn to Jesus. Guys, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever stress you're going through, whatever difficulty you're overwhelmed with, your focus needs to just turn to Jesus. That's where the hope is, giving it over to Jesus. And I know that seems very Christianese, but the Bible tells us to cast our cares upon him. It's a command, cast them. When I'm carrying my own burdens, I'm doing what God said not to do. He says, cast them upon me, give them to me, hand them over to me. And that, isn't it a consistent thing? It's a constant thing, isn't it? Every moment, every time you start to take it back, I'm going to give it back to you, Jesus. Focusing on him, that helps us. When we last left Peter and John, they literally changed the life of a lame man, right? If you remember. Lame man laying by the gate, beautiful, wanting something, wanting alms, wanting money to keep him a lame beggar. But Peter says, no. Silver and gold I don't have. I can't keep you a beggar. I can't keep you a lame man. But what I do have, I give to you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And that's where we left it. He was jumping and leaping and entering into the temple, into the place where God was. And that's where we're picking up in verse 11 as we look at this fact that the source for change. That's just what I want to talk about this morning. The source for change. This is so important. And for most of us, we probably already know the answer. But let's be reminded. Look with me at verse 11 in chapter 3. It says, "Now as the lame man was healed, who was healed, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us? As though by our own power or godliness, we have made this man walk.'" Now pause right there. First thing I want to talk about, when it comes to the source for change, is that we see this picture here of this lame man being healed, and what is he doing? He's holding on to his very new best friends. Right? I mean, when you really look at this, you go, man, why wouldn't you, right? I mean, if your life changed that dramatically through someone else, wouldn't you have a high regard for that person? But here's the thing. When it comes to the source for change, we can never, and I underline the word never in bold, highlight, glowing, neon sign, never rely on people. Never. Okay, now, we do want to be in each other's lives, and that's fine, but we can never put our hope in people. We never can put our needs on people. Right? And Peter's going, no, no, no. This man's holding on to him. He's walking into Solomon's porch, which is where all the new believers would go. And what's interesting to me, as a side note, don't forget, Christianity is still heavily Jewish at this point. So they are going to the temple that we talked about last week, where the presence of God was, for a time of prayer, if you remember. Peter and John were going there at the time of prayer, like 3 in the afternoon. And so they're in Solomon's porch, where all the believers in Christ were to pray. And this man is holding on to them. And let's realize it. I'm very thankful to the people in my life that, number one, led me to God. Number two, helped me grow in God. Number three, helped me grow in the Word of God. I am thankful for those people. But my eternal hope is not in them. We can't rely on people fully. I understand this man. This man's life was radically changed, right? I mean, you go from a lame person with no hope in life to all of a sudden being completely healed. I'm hanging around that guy, right? I mean, two godly, God-fearing men now give you a complete healing. They're your new best friends, like I said. And that's fine. But Peter sees this, and he recognizes it, and he sees the people around going, this is amazing. This man that we walked by and either gave alms or ignored is now walking and jumping around in the temple, praising God. They're moved by it. And I love the fact that Peter recognizes this and says, guys, please don't look to us. And so I say this to really, number one, we shouldn't rely on other people. But no one should really rely on you either. Right? Now, people will come to us for godly counsel. People will come to us for prayer, and that's fine. But there cannot be a divine reliance upon a human person. Our reliance has to be on Christ. And so when people look to us, do your best to guide them into the presence of Christ, into Jesus. Yes, God used me to help certain people's life. Yes, God has used people in my life to help me, and I respect them and thank you for them, but I am no longer attached to them. I am attached to God. That's where the source is, and that's what Peter is trying to say. Now, other thing that I see here is these people were amazed seeing this lame man walking around. They were amazed by witnessing God's change in his life. I want people to look at my life with that same type of amazement. Do people look at your life with that same type of amazement? Do they look at you and go, wow, look at the change that has happened in their life since they've come to Christ? Guys, this should be a desire of all God-fearing Christians. Again, not attention for us, but bringing glory and honor to God. We're supposed to reflect Christ. We're supposed to be that mirror. When people see us, they should see Jesus. As Paul so brilliantly said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Hebrews 11:1. Imitate me as I'm imitating Christ. I read into that and I say, don't imitate me when I'm not imitating Christ. When I'm imitating Rob Taylor, don't imitate that. But when I'm imitating Christ, follow that. And that was Peter's heart as well. He's like, don't look to us. Don't look to us. Peter sees it, and he makes it clear that it wasn't by his power, and he directs everything to Jesus. We'll see that in a minute. The goal of Peter's speech, again, this is his second preaching that we're looking at here, is to explain where the source of the power to heal this man had come from. And he does not want them to think that they did it. I believe in the days that Peter did this, there was a great need in people's lives for change in their lives. I believe there was a hunger. That's why these people were amazed. They wanted that change to happen in their lives. Isn't it the same today? There's people today starving for something because they're not satisfied if they're separated from Christ. We that are in Christ should have that absolute eternal assurance and hope, and people should be looking to us for that. Peter explains this. Listen, Peter isn't just telling the crowd, hey, this isn't us, guys. He's also telling the lame man. This isn't just the people that are, this is the lame man as well. He's looking, why do you look to us? As though our power, and notice it says our power and our godliness. These were godly men. Again, they just had come from spending time, what, in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And now they're entering into the temple of prayer. There were godly men seeking after God. And when we seek God in that capacity, we can be used by God to help other people. And so not only the crowd that was amazed, he's saying, listen, it's not us. We're not gods. But he's also saying it to that lame man. He's saying, don't hold on to us. We can't be with you always, but Jesus can always be there with you. You could be on the center of a deserted island, and you're never alone, Christian. Remember that. You're never alone. God is there with you. We talked about this on Wednesday night. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, someone you can have a relationship with. It's not a force. It's not an essence. The Holy Spirit is a person that dwells in you. And that Holy Spirit is closer to you than any living human being on this planet. And there's people here sitting next to their spouses, and you guys are so close, but you know what? The Holy Spirit is closer to you. The Holy Spirit lives with you, never leaves you, never forsakes you. So we can never rely on others. But look at the second thing. In verse 13, we pick up, Peter goes on, and he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his son Jesus. Look at this. Whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Peter's pouring on the conviction here, isn't he? Again, he's not going to deny that. And that, sometimes we need to speak the truth. Verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, praise God, of which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. First thing Peter says is, don't rely on people. Don't look to us. As spiritual and as godly and as God-fearing Peter was, Peter knew, you cannot rely on me. You can't put your trust in me. I denied Christ 3 times. I was always the one that Jesus kept correcting and had to fix things that I messed up. So Peter knew himself. But then he goes on, he says, listen, the source of this man's healing is Jesus Christ. Guys, everything in our lives as believers, the source is Jesus Christ, right? The source. Your happiness, your blessedness, your prosperity, your whatever, your the peace that surpasses all, is all from Jesus. It's never upon stuff. Your job will never bring you as much peace as Jesus will. Your relationships, as wonderful as they may be, will never bring you the same assurance as it is in Jesus. And that's what Peter is pouring on. He's saying, guys, and notice, again, very Jewish, very Jewish. And from a Jewish perspective, he's speaking to these Jews that are there in the temple for the time of prayer. And he right there, he says in verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, immediately in the hearts of every Jew there, they knew what God Peter was talking about. Because I believe if Jesus started out saying, Jesus, the God Jesus, they'd all shut right down. But because he approaches the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, everyone around there would go, that's my God. That's the God I came here to pray to. That's the God I serve. That's the God I worship. So he's connecting with him. Guys, it's so important as believers that we make sure we connect with people right where they are. Don't pour on the heavy conviction. You got to let the heart open up before the Holy Spirit can do the work. And so when we minister to people around us, minister to them from where they are. Don't stay there. He's going to move on from that. And he's going to bring them into the presence of Jesus, the Son of God. But he's speaking to them so that their hearts are open. We have to be very careful. You may know a lot of scripture and you may have a lot of truth. And truth can be difficult, can it? If it's not given out in love. And so that's what Peter is doing here. From a Jewish perspective, he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they would exactly know, and they would connect with what he was saying. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3, it says this, moreover, he said to Moses at the burning bush, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When God was speaking to Moses, he spoke to him so that he knew what God he was hearing from. And this is very important for us today, guys. When we hear something, when we think something, when we sense something, we need to know it's from the true God. We have a real live enemy that wants to thwart our plans, that wants to destroy us and to kill us. And so when we are listening to the Spirit, we need to know it is the Spirit. And you know the Spirit, right? That still small voice. We should know him when he speaks. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Test. Who is this that's speaking to me? I mean, this is spiritual stuff. We need to know that it's God speaking to us. And when Peter was speaking, now they know that God is speaking to him. Moses knew that this was the right God. You know, God goes on and says, take off your sandals, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. We need to know that it's God. And Peter knew. And wanted them to know that it was the same God that they worshiped. And then he transitions it to the very guy that you denied. Notice it says in verse 13, of the God of your fathers glorified his servant Jesus. In some translations it may say his son Jesus. It's Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. He is saying, listen. You falsely accused the Son of God. You falsely accused God himself. But did you notice it there? But Peter says, but God took care of your mistake. Isn't that so encouraging? God takes care of our mistakes. Peter is pouring it on, and he's telling them this source of this healing is Jesus, is God of heaven, and he's the one that's made this man whole. And he's telling them, listen, don't look to us. You look to God, and you look to Jesus, the one you crucified. Notice it says in verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. You killed them, God raised them. I don't know how many times I've said it, but God is so much bigger than any mistake we can make. And you may have killed your dreams, you may have tried to kill your hopes, but God can resurrect those things, my friends. God has the power and the ability. I always say, if you just have the right heart and you're open to the guidance of God through the Holy Spirit and through his word, you'll stay on his path. Even if you veer off a little bit, God will correct you. Many years ago, I got my small pilot's license. And when I was learning to fly a plane, very small plane, God bless you, they teach you. Very small and frequent corrections. When you're in a plane, you don't wait a long time or you're going to be way off track. So you're constantly changing your altitude, your left, your right, always changing. And it's the same thing for believers, guys. We just got to keep making small and frequent corrections so that we stay on the path that leads to God. Sometimes people wait years before they want to make a correction. You know how hard it is to overcome years of bad behavior, of bad thinking? But the moment you have a bad thought, get back. No. The enemy wants to tell you you're worthless. Christ wants to tell you you're precious in God's sight. The enemy wants to say you're not forgiven. Jesus says, I forgave you for everything, past, present, future. That's how we stay on track with God. Because he's our source of change. And when we change, guess what? We stop hearing the voice of the enemy and we start completely listening to the voice of God and we stay in that place. That we know, that we know, that we know that God loves us and has forgiven us. That's where we need to stay. Now it says here that Peter was speaking from, again, their perspective, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, speaking to them from their religion, okay? But he transfers it quickly from their religion to a relationship with Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, this man is made well because what? Because there was faith in Jesus. Don't forget, it wasn't the lame man's faith. It was Peter's faith. Peter believed God would heal him, and therefore Peter's faith was transferred to this man. That in itself is a message that could be taught on a Sunday morning, that our faith in God can not only affect us, but it can affect others. How much do you believe God can do a change in your life and also can do a change in someone else's life? I think I said it last week. You believe for me and I'll believe for you. I'll believe God's going to do something in your life if you believe God's going to do something in my life. Because Peter tells us faith in Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's great. You have a tradition, you have your routines, and you have your religion, but you need to have a relationship with the one who can change your life. Religion never changed anyone's life except for keep them in a box. But a relationship with Jesus gives you the freedom to be who God wants you to be. What a beautiful thing. I'm giving you a bunch of scriptures. James 2:19, I've always loved this verse. James says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Belief in Jesus isn't enough. You have to put your faith in Jesus. You have to put your trust in Jesus. You have to be willing to be obedient to Jesus. There's a lot of people that believe Jesus existed, but they don't believe that that he's their Savior. Do you believe in Jesus so much? Is your faith in Jesus so strong that the enemy can't rock your world? Because I believe there's people in this room that the enemy's having a heyday with. He's messing with your mind. He's messing with your emotions. He's messing with your physical body because you're believing in the lie and you're not putting your hope and trust in Christ. That's what Peter is saying. Don't put your trust in me. Put your faith in Jesus, the one you crucified, the one you denied. And here's the amazing thing about this. They denied Jesus and he will never deny them. The very one that they sent to death, Jesus is going to forgive them. Peter is saying, you did all these things, but the opportunity of becoming his child is still available to you. If they can be saved, sure enough, we can, right? Sure enough. Please, I pray. If you have the biggest and strongest faith, and it's not faith in Jesus, it's worthless. There's a lot of people in the world that have amazing faith in the Big Bang, right? They got a lot of faith that the Big Bang did it. Is that going to get them anywhere when it comes to after this life? No, it's not. We have to have our faith, and it needs to be in Jesus Christ. People think, and even Christians think, that they have to have a lot of faith. If I could just have more faith. Have you ever heard that? Well, if you just had more faith, you wouldn't be sick. If you just had more faith, you wouldn't be poor. If you just had more faith, you wouldn't be... We all think that. I mean, I think as Christians, I'm going through this trial because I don't have enough faith. Your Bible and my Bible says this: if you have the faith of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, I think, on the planet, if you have that much faith, you can tell a mountain to move. You can tell something in your life to get out of your way. And Jesus said, and that mountain will move. That's not an enormous amount of faith, is it? But it's faith in the right person. It's not the amount of faith, it's the who you have your faith in. And it's your faith in Christ, the only one that can change your life. See, there's a lot of people in there, they want to tell you you're going to have, there's a change coming in your life. You know, and I could sit here, there's change coming in your life today. Let's believe it. And we'll laugh. But the reality is, there could be change coming in your life because Jesus wants to do a change in your life. If we just would be open to say, God, if you want to change me, change me. If you want to use me, use me. I'm here for you. You're the source of my change. Not people, not influences, not other books. I just want you to change me from the inside out, God. Please do that. Think of it this way. Teeny tiny faith, great big God. Right? Your teeny tiny faith and a great big God, it's plenty of faith. And did you notice, where is it? In verse 16, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So Peter's faith made this man strong, whom you see and know. They knew him. Looks at this. Yes, the faith which comes through him. He's also the source of our faith. So we have faith in him, and he gives us the ability and the power to have faith. This isn't something you gumption up in your own strength. If I just believe enough, I'm going to get enough faith. You put your faith in Jesus, and he'll give you the faith that you need to get through this life. That's a beautiful thing. A small amount of faith through the person of Jesus, the impossible things happen. I love that. I love that. Now look at this, verse 17. We're going to wrap up here. Yet now, brethren. Notice he says brethren. Again, this is Jewish. My brothers, my Jewish brothers. This isn't Christians. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Verse 19, we're going to come back to. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. That's Jesus. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. There's the option. Believe in him and you'll be healed. Deny him and you'll be destroyed. Verse 24, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these things. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised his servant Jesus, sent him, listen to this, to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. The source for change is not in people. The source for change is in God and is in Jesus. And these very ones that denied Christ, the very ones that sent him to the cross, how eloquently and how powerfully Peter says, salvation is available for you as well. The very ones that sent Jesus to the cross, Jesus is willing to forgive. Guys, if that is not a beautiful picture of grace, I don't know what is. And no matter how far we fall, no matter how far we go, no matter what we do, God's grace is always available to us. His grace is always available to you. You may have had the worst week of your life last week. You may have done the most heinous things last week. I'm assuming you didn't, but you may have. And God stands here today and says, I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready to heal you. I'm ready to change you. Stand back up, wipe off the dust off your, and get going. Because that's what God wants. And I love that Peter says, listen, you crucified him. Jesus is the one that did this, and this is the one who healed him. And now it's available to you as well. Because wouldn't you imagine as Peter is speaking, this is what you did. You denied the Holy One, the Just One, the one that the prophet said would come. And if you put your faith and trust in him, you'll be saved and you'll be blessed. You did all that. Oh, we did? But if you put your faith and trust in him, you can have it too. Guys, it's available to every single one of us in this room. We should all leave here so encouraged that we are believers, that we believe in the truth. I'm so glad we sang that song. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the resurrection. We believe. Let it not be a song. Let it be our life's verse. Let it be our life song that we're saying, God, we believe in you. Because that's what Peter is telling these people. Just believe in Jesus. He will forgive you. It's available to you. If we sin, notice he says here in verse 17, and yet, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. This verse does not say it's okay to sin if you didn't know you sinned. It's still sin. They're still responsible for their sin. But because they did it in ignorance, God's grace is there. They did it in ignorance because they didn't realize what they were doing. And it doesn't that sound familiar to what Jesus said on the cross? After being nailed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Peter says, you did it in ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing. God, help us with the sin in our life that we didn't know we were doing. But God, also help us with the sin in our lives that we know we're doing. That's the sin that really is heavy on us. We know we're sinning. That's where God's going. God has mercy, more mercy on those who do it in ignorance. There's a world out there that's sinning that doesn't really even know it's sin. God, let it not be in the church. But if it is, there's forgiveness there. And if there's sin in our lives that we're doing knowingly, there's forgiveness there too. God's got it all covered. We never get to a spot in our walk with God and go, God ran out of grace. It's always there. Aren't you thankful that the source for change is in him and not us? The source isn't how much you read your Bible. The source isn't how much you pray, how eloquently you pray, how many people you lead to Christ, how nice you are to your people, gives you your latte. I mean, aren't you glad it's not that? That's religion. If I do enough good during the week, God will be happy with me. If I do too much bad now, Dad, well, God's going to be mad at me. No. Look at verse 19. So important. Peter says, you did it in ignorance. But what do you need to do? Verse 19, repent. Repent. The first word of salvation is always repent. It's always to say, I fell short. I am sorry. I want to change. Repentance has to take place. Repentance is a heart thing. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's truly feeling sorry. It's feeling more remorse. I'm sorry, God, I did. And turn from it. Repent means to turn, right? A different direction. And notice it says, repent, therefore, and be converted, which means change your direction, that your sins may be blotted out. Anybody in here want their sins blotted out? I do. I want them erased. So that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. If you don't take anything with you today, take that with you. Times of refreshing come to those who have repented and put their faith and trust in Jesus. I think more than any other time in my life, which isn't very long, we need a time of refreshing. And do you know, this is so great, time of refreshing really means here restoration. In fact, we see it in verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration. So there's refreshing and there's restoration. And restoration, get this before we go and before we spend time in communion today, restoration is not just change. It's not just making, like this lame man can now walk, right? And he's made perfect soundness, right? We talked about it last week. He's better than he's ever been. He's healed of everything, perfect soundness. God, when he restores you, he doesn't just make you the same. He makes you better, right? It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = abundant, right? Ephesians 3:20, it says right here, now to him, let me put it up there actually. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. This restoration that God does in us, this source of change, means we are radically changed. And I think sometimes we need to remember that, that we are a work in progress and God is going to change us in abundant ways. I love it. This isn't like you just remodel a room. You remodel the whole house and you make it a mansion. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to do so much more in our lives. Are we willing to let him do it? Guys, don't rely on people. Know the source is from God. And know that it's available to all people. Your worst enemy, God's grace, can touch. The person, I'm going to say it, you hate with all your gumption, God's grace is enough for that person. That's amazing grace. And that is the grace that is available to us. Are we tapping into the source of our change? God, change us. Keep changing us. So in our time of communion, I'm going to ask the gentleman to get up. I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to hand out the elements. Just take this time. Say, God, I need to be refreshed. I need to be changed. I know you're the source. I don't really want to rely on anybody. I want to rely upon you. Let's pray that during our time of communion, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for the power of your name, the name of Jesus. May we not be ashamed. May we not be afraid to use the name of Jesus, God. We know in this world it's the name of Jesus that ruffles the most feathers. But to me, that is evidence in the power of your name. We can say God, we can say Buddha, we can say anything else, it's fine, but don't say Jesus. But God, we are Jesus followers, and we are supposed to represent you properly. So I pray with every ounce of power in us that we would speak and proclaim the name of Jesus. That we would have amazing faith in the name of Jesus. God, that you would pour out right now a time of refreshing upon all of us. Lift our burdened hearts. Lift our aches, our pains, our sufferings. Let us rise above the noise and let us just stay in that place of your grace, your love, and your forgiveness. I pray for each and everyone here this morning, God. I pray that in their time, as they remember what you've done for them, that they would just be overwhelmed with amazing joy. That it's not based on their works, it's not based on religion, it's based on their relationship to you. And today, we can have a more intimate and close relationship with you. Every day, we can get closer to Christ. And so as we remember what you've done, God, let us rejoice. We also want to pray for Suzelle and for Haiti and the things that are happening there, God. Thank you for reminding us to pray for our sister. Lift her up, God. She needs a time of refreshing in her life. She needs, and I know she does, but she needs to put her faith and trust in you. And God, that you would just speak to her heart, that you would encourage her, that she is right where you want her to be. And I pray that for all of us, Lord, that we would be right where you want us to be. Ready to receive a miracle, ready to be used, ready to be changed. So as we enter into this time of communion, God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through song, through music, through our prayers. Let us never forget what you've done for us, paid the ultimate price. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus, all these things. Amen. Amen.